Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 69. It's February 17, 2015. Today, Isaiah. Isaiah is about to meet the one and only God, the Holy One of Israel. Have we met such a God? We were talking yesterday about how God wants to be close to us. He wants to be of the earth, as it were, but on His terms. Closeness on His terms. We can't be taking over the relationship with our ideas. Remember Peter again. Peter's always saying stuff, isn't he? Peter, who had just been told by Jesus that to him, Peter was going to be given the keys of the kingdom because of the statement that he had just made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was so excited to say it. He was filled with God's Spirit when he said it, though. He didn't realize this is not coming from him. Jesus had to tell him that. But at that point, he gets a little bit puffed up in thinking that everything that comes out of his mouth must be from the Lord. And Jesus makes that clear to him later on that it's not true. When Peter said, Jesus, let me talk to you. Let me take you aside here a little bit, Jesus, and help you to understand some things about earth. Now, I know you're a wonderful God. You're God. I'm sure you just have so many wonderful traits, but there's some things you don't understand about human relationships. And that is, you don't go around telling people you're going to die all the time. You don't talk negative. In our generation, you've got to be positive. Jesus wasn't too happy with Peter's counsel and let Peter know that at that moment he was being filled with the devil. Don't take over the relationship because you think the relationship is on an equal basis, because he wants to be your friend, therefore he should listen to you every once in a while. No, he doesn't have to listen to you. He does listen to us. He does care about our thinking, but only when our thinking is in line with his thinking. Remember Peter again, a third time, saying at the end, when Jesus is saying, look, you're all going to betray me. You're not betray me in the sense Judas did, of course, but you're all going to leave me. You're all going to forsake me. And it was like he just knew that, and he had to tell him, perhaps so that nobody would feel condemned the rest of his life because he had done it, because they had all done it. But Peter again had his own ideas in this friendship. And Peter made it clear to Jesus that he was not going to deny him. That's just how it was. Maybe everybody else would, but Peter would not ever deny Jesus. Are you kidding? I mean, come on, I've come this far with you. You think I'm just going to... No, you can count on me. I'm the rock, remember? I won't deny you. Keep your own ideas to yourself and don't make them a part of the relationship you're trying to have with Jesus. Don't try to control relationships. Perhaps you've been a person who controls relationships all your life. You can't control this one. This is a holy God. A holy God. He is high and lifted up. That's the God that Isaiah saw as we were reading in our text yesterday. And his train, it says, filled the temple, the train being the bridal train. You've seen them in weddings and how these dresses will just go on and on and on. and they trail down the aisle. And that's called the train. And it has to do with the glory of the bride. In this case, the glory of the Lord. Isaiah is in the temple and that whole building, as big as your church building and bigger in the inside, that whole area was just filled with the glory of God, because God was there, and when he's there, he's just got to radiate who he is. That's why when we look at Jesus, and we are able to look at Jesus, and the disciples looked at him and were eyewitnesses of him and pass that on to us so we can look through their eyes if we need to. They didn't see. They saw a toned down God. If God had come like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration, if Jesus had been that way all the time, how different would the Bible story have been? This is not what we're after. Not now. That he will just be doing this all the time, 24/7. We're after it eventually. We know he's going to fill the temple one day, and he's filling us with his glory on the inside. But he's still in us, toned down, so that people around us can digest this God called Jesus. What is the clothing of God? It says his train, his clothing, the dress, what he wore, filled the temple. The Bible says in Psalm 93:1 that God is clothed with majesty. And God is clothed with strength. In Psalm 104:1, he is clothed with honor. All of this strength and majesty and honor, everything that God is, just filled that temple. You could sense it. It was so strong you could actually see it at that point. And God is able to make himself visible anytime he wants. And he had visible things showing. It wasn't all of God. Nobody has ever seen all of God and lived. Every place that Isaiah looked in this temple, 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, 45 feet high, every place he looked, all he could see was God's character, God's presence. Overwhelming sight. I can't describe it, obviously. Read it and see what the Lord, through his Spirit, puts inside of you as to what Isaiah must have seen on that wonderful day. This is supposed to be a picture of the church when we talk about the temple. Paul says the church is the temple. And we individually are temples. And when we get to where we're supposed to be, you won't be able to look at us without seeing God. You who are not godly, you who are not Christian, or even Christians looking at one another. When we really get to where we're supposed to be, you should be able to see God's character and majesty and life living in me. That's supposed to be what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You know anybody like that? Have you seen anyone like that? Have you hung around anyone like that? You're just with them and you just feel like you're with God, because they're so close to God, and you sense the vibrations inside there, not just because he talks about God all the time, or she talks about God, or dances in the aisles, and you're just kind of afraid of people like that. I'm talking about a presence of fruit that you see. In the Bible, fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, patience, and kindness. They're not wimpy, but they know how to control things. They know how to give to you. They make you feel good, unless you're living in sin, and then they make you feel bad. You ever been around people like that? Isn't that really what it's supposed to be? It's the same God filling his temple today. I'm not talking about going to church and having a great meeting, although that's a good thing too. I'm talking about the people of God as they live their lives out during the week. Do you know people? I didn't say, have you been to a service like that? Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on inside the meetings these days, isn't there? Oh my. Anything you want is there. Now, from 0 to 100, it's all out there. And that's good. I think there's some good stuff going on. But what about Mondays through Saturday? Where is God during that time? Does he retreat back to heaven, or is he still among his people doing the God things without the hoopla and without the hype? Christ, the head of the church in heaven, filling his body with his Spirit here on earth. We can expect that. We should revel in it. And then he goes on in verse 2, above it, Above what? Perhaps the throne. Above the throne, I saw the seraphim. Above the throne were the seraphim. Okay. What's a seraphim? Well, that's a plural. You'd have to say, who are the seraphim? It's a plural. Seraph being the singular. It means in the Hebrew, the burning ones. And in that case, it could be any number of angelic beings, because all the angels are flames of fire. But is this even an angel? Some say this is not an angel, that the word angel is itself a separate class with many divisions. But this is not angelic, this is seraphim. These are the seraphim. These are a different order of creation altogether. We don't know exactly. Angel means messenger, and these persons seem to be praise warriors, and that's all they do, praise. Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, talks about these creations that also have six wings and a similar praise message. Is it possible that John saw the same creations that Isaiah saw? I believe it's quite possible. Two wings covered the face of this creature because of the glory of God that cannot be looked upon, not by even his created praise warriors. Two wings covered his feet, perhaps, someone says, and we don't know for sure about any of these, but perhaps representing the feet representing dirt, because you used to get your feet dirty when you would walk in those days. But because of the dirt connection, God could not look on them. That's why those were covered. He covered the face because they were not to look on God, but covered the feet because God was not to look on them. Perhaps, only perhaps. So they can't look at God. God can't look fully on them. Look how different it is with the child of God. Even Moses, I say even because he represents the law, not the gospel. Even Moses was allowed to look at some of his glory. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Even Moses, whereas here perhaps the seraphim are not allowed to look. But we see Jesus, it says in the New Testament, Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. Do you remember that? I told you about it earlier, where Jesus suddenly becomes more of who he is. He still did not become everything, but he surely changed quite a bit for Peter and James and John and Moses and Elijah. What a wonderful camp meeting that was. Revelation 22:4 says that we shall see his face. We shall see his face. Psalm 34:15 says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I'm just trying to bring out to you the fact that God and his people do look upon each other in one way or another. There is a connection, a communication that's been opened up by heaven itself, welcoming communication from earth, welcoming our thoughts, welcoming our hearts and our praise, welcoming our petition. There's a communication here that certain of the angels or created beings in heaven did not know and perhaps will never know. We have been made in his very image. No angel, as far as I understand, was ever made in the image of God. We are special to him. Although David continues to ask, and I will ask with him, why? What is man? What is man? I don't understand why, but we must understand the what, that we have been made special, and we made ourselves very unspecial right away. And God had to send Jesus into the world to make us special again, and only those who come to Christ and know that life of Christ in them can be considered special once more, special to God. Let's leave it go right there at the end of that one. We'll talk about verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3, next time we get together. It's good to share with you every day. I hope you feel the same way. I hope you will tell others about the podcast. And I trust that you will subscribe to it. right there at Sermon Audio. Just click on that orange button at the top and click on iTunes. I've got good things to share with you every day about the persecuted church or about the Word of God, some incident that's going on right now in the world, some other person who has written wonderful things as George Mueller that we will continue with in a few days. Lots of stuff to share with you. I hope that you will continue being with me. Thank you for tuning in. Talk with you again soon. Don't forget Isaiah 6:3, which we'll really get to tomorrow. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Remember who He is today.